Alright, everybody, welcome to Lecture 12 in this American History program of History at Our House for the Junior and Senior High class. Today's lecture is entitled Building a Tower of Knowledge. So far, we have collected together some really key datums, some really key milestone events from history, which I refer to as anchor facts. And I've assembled these anchor facts into a timeline for you. So if you go to the class webpage, which I highly recommend you do, and go to Lecture 12 Resources, you will see the promise of the coming class four, week four class notes, which will be on there today, I promise. They're getting polished up now because some of them are getting fixed up. Some of them are new. So they'll be on there today to supplement and to help you very much in, you know, knowing the substance of what is in this document, the timeline of civilization and anchor facts of American history. Maybe that should be civilizations, plurals. And then we'll talk about this as well. This is going to be a learning tool here called visual prompts, which we'll get into today. And so the purpose of the work that we are going to do, yeah, I wrote that too quickly, didn't I, Alexander? So I will definitely clean up those typos. I should say American history. All right, so the purpose of what we're going to do today and over the course of the coming weeks, as we continue to learn new facts, because we are going to, now that we have this context, this big picture setting for the story of America, we are going to now begin to look at the actual events in detail from around 1492 onward, right? So now that we're kind of positioned to do that, we're going to start encountering a lot more facts every day. We're going to encounter new people doing new things in new places for new reasons and so on. And all of that's going to rapidly accumulate upon us to the point where we're going to be faced with a really large collection of information. No matter how selective I am, and I'm very proud of the fact that I'm extremely selective in my presentations of history. So I do my best to not waste your time with any information that would not be appropriate to your learning. But even so, even as ruthlessly selective as I am, and I would, that's exactly how I would describe myself. I would say I'm ruthlessly selective when I study history. I mean, how else can you take 5,000 years and have only 7 facts? Now, that's ruthless selectivity there. And so as much as that is true about the way that I teach, what will happen inevitably, there's no way around it. Absolutely no way. You cannot fake this. What will inevitably happen is the facts will pile up so much that you will not be able to retain them. You will not be able to make sense of them. And at some point, no matter how hard you work, it'll be too much. And that becomes discouraging for any student of history. And then comes the big challenge for any student of history. And that is, what do you do? What do you do when the facts pile up so much that you can't handle them anymore? And everybody has their own answer to this question. And most people's answer to this question, sadly, is just jettison history. History is a bunch of facts about the past. There's too much else out there in the world to know and to learn and to do and to enjoy. And those facts about the past don't seem to matter. So throw them out and just live your life. That is the answer that 99% of people have, sadly. And then a very, very few, very, very small percentage of people actually decide, I'm going to take this seriously and I'm going to work really, really hard to try to memorize as many of these as I can and to know them and to try to somehow know them, because there's something there. It's hard to know what it is, but it does mean something. So what do we do? So then those people struggle, and like, then that's me. That's me about 20 years ago. I decided that I wanted to know it. No matter, it was hard, and I, and a lot of it I didn't like. And all too often, when I was studying history, older than you guys, but nonetheless, around that time, all too often it was too much information. It was not organized properly. But somehow I kept my motivation. I had this conviction that there was a light at the end of the tunnel, right? That there was something wonderful at the end. And it was very hard for me to get there, but I feel like I have, and I'm really happy with the outcome. And so that's kind of what I'm about, is I experienced that. Nobody helped me, sadly. Really, I had to figure it out myself. My teachers piled on lots of facts on top of me, and that, you know, tends to break just about anybody's back. But I managed to get rid of most of them and to figure out a way to make sense of them all. And to along the way, basically understand how all of history fits together. All of it. So, in my mind, I can literally carry history in the palm of my hand. And I know where Chinese history fits, I know where the history of India fits, I know where the history of Africa fits, I know where the history of Latin America fits. It all fits for me. And it's a really, really neat outcome. I look at the world and I see opportunities to know it better, rather than looking at the world and feeling, whoa, it's complicated and I need to go and, you know, read the news stories and I don't quite understand why this is happening and it's all too much. And no, every time I learn about the world, I see new things that connect up with other things that I already know, and they become stronger, not weaker. They become, the knowledge that I have becomes somehow better than it was before, not lesser. And that's a different kind of experience. I call this experience of encountering the facts of history and the facts in the world around us, like on the news, you know, on your favorite news webpage or whatever. I know you probably don't have one yet, but as you encounter them in the world, nonetheless, I call that process of being able to encounter new facts and always deal with them and be able to make sense of them. I call that building a tower of knowledge. At least that's one of the metaphors. I'm pretty fond of metaphors, right? I was talking about swimming in an ocean of facts, and now I'm talking about building a tower of knowledge, right? So I like metaphors. They're pretty useful sometimes. But the key here is that if you deal with the facts in a certain way, it is possible to connect them together. And it is possible to build an integrated sum of knowledge where nothing you know is not connected to everything else you know, and it all fits together in a logical unity. And it's a really wonderful feeling when you can have that kind of clarity, and where you aren't afraid of the next news event because it's somehow going to demolish what you think you knew about the world. Instead, it's going to add to it. And you're going to find a way to put it all together and to know the world better than you did every time you encounter a fact. So it's pretty neat. Most people, as they encounter facts from history, or they encounter facts in the news, every time they encounter a new one, it's another bewildering piece of information that doesn't connect up with the rest of the things they know, or know partly, and it makes them feel uncomfortable, and it's hard to deal with. The world is just a bunch of questions, unanswerable, and it's too difficult to handle, and most people shy away from all of the news, and they don't want to see it, they don't want to know it, because, oh, it's too complicated. Let's just get onto that fantasy football league, we'll focus our attention there, and everything will be okay. Which is not the case. The world demands that we know it. And it's not very forgiving if we refuse to do it. And so how do we then? How do we build up knowledge in a way that our confidence grows, our enjoyment of knowing grows, and in the end, we have a tower. We have a tower of knowledge, and it's wonderful. From the top of it, we can see everything. How do we do that? Well, The metaphor I have for you is, again, I'm extending the tower metaphor here, has to do, it's maybe a little bit more compelling to younger students, but at the same time, you guys are going to be able to figure it out more to a different extent than younger students are going to be. The metaphor that I have for you is a classic metaphor, I think, of knowledge, and that is Lego. Lego is an ingenious invention, one of the greatest toy inventions of all time. Maybe it should be one of the anchor facts of history when Lego was invented. But anyway, so what most people have with regard to history, sadly, looks a lot like this if we think of, you know, this metaphorically. What we have here is quite simply a pile. It's a pile of separate pieces. And when you encounter new information, what is it like? You've collected more pieces, and what happens to them? They go into the pile. And if you get too many pieces, what happens to the pile? As you go and you collect more pieces, what happens to this pile? Alexander?
It gets so big that it's hard to do anything else.
It gets so big, but when it gets so big, then it collapses and it spreads out all over, and it's worse. Every time you add pieces to it, is it more manageable? Is it nicer to have a pile of Lego? Because normally we think of accumulating Lego pieces. That's all my son can think about, is the next kit that he's going to buy with his allowance money and the treats that his grandma sends him and so on. So that's all he can think about, is accumulating more and more. But if all you're doing is accumulating pieces and pieces and pieces, what do you end up with? What does your room end up looking like? It ends up looking like a huge mess. And then what do you do with it? Your mom says, clean up your room, it's a mess. What do you do with the pile? Timothy?
You stuff the pile in a closet, and then you don't bother to take it out.
Oh, wow. Mr. Powell's metaphor is really working overtime today, isn't it? That's exactly what happens to the history information, those bits of history facts that you encounter. They accumulate like piles of Lego. They feel messy in your mind. And so you then put them in a box and you hide them in the closet and you don't ever want to see them again. All right, so what's the alternative? The alternative is world record knowledge building. Right? This is the extreme, but it's possible, and you're looking at an example of it in the Lego universe. This tower is made out of Lego. All exactly the same blocks that you guys are used to playing with. These blocks right here were used to make this. And if you want to know how big it is, here's the crane carrying the people. It gives you an idea of the scale. And, you know, there are multiple stories up in the air on this crane, and we're barely getting to the top of this thing. This is what I mean by a tower of knowledge. This is what is possible if you take information and you process it properly. If you take the bits and you put them together the right way, you can get this, as opposed to this. So how do you do it? So how do we do it? Well, it's good to look at maybe a simpler example in order to kind of understand certain principles that are involved in building a knowledge tower, in building an edifice of knowledge that allows you to have the best view possible. What do you have to do? How do you build a tower? Real question. How do you build a structure like this? What are some of the key things that you have to do? Bria?
Well, you have to build a foundation first. first?
Oh, number one, absolutely, is you have to build a foundation. You cannot build a skyscraper on top of a pile of sand. Right? If you ever go and have ever seen buildings, skyscrapers being built in your city or what have you, any tall building, what you'll see, the first thing that the engineers will do is they'll dig a big hole in the ground and they'll drive piles down, or they'll put big concrete piles down in the ground. They'll set up the foundation. It's got to be able to support the weight. Right? So in our simple tower here, the foundation consists, well, in a sense of this green, but especially the blue here, right? Nicely stylistically done. It's wider, it's stronger, right? Well put together. Look at the mega tower. What do you notice about the mega tower? The foundation is really well constructed. It's in the shape of a cross, so that's going to have a lot of stability to it. Okay, so it starts wide, right? And it goes up taller and taller as well, narrowing. Okay, so the foundation's got to be wide and strong. Yeah, absolutely. All of these facts. Now, what about the way that you proceed as you're building going up? Do you just take one piece and put it on top of the next piece? And then another piece and put it on top. And another piece and put it on top. And another piece and put it on top. Is that the way you build a tower? If that's what you did, what would happen? What's wrong with that formula, Alexander?
Well, all the pieces can fall apart where they're joined together, so you have to put them like bricks, kind of half on top of each other.
Oh, half on top, and that creates connections sideways as well as vertically, right? If you look over here at our basic tower, you'll notice that this builder has got some pieces lined up lengthwise and some pieces lined up crosswise. And so that makes them overlap horizontally as well as vertically. So this is not a separate column from this column from this column, right? What happens? What do we call that when we have multiple degrees of connection? What's that key word about the world and its events and about the way that our knowledge must reflect that, Ben?
Interconnected.
Multiply and complexly connected. The best towers are multiply and complexly connected. Our knowledge needs to be a tower that is multiply and complexly connected in order for it to be a true integration, a sum that's not just a pile. Bria, go ahead.
Also, when you're building a tower, how you build towers in our little You can't just have it exactly the same size, all the same thing. If you did that, then it might bend over to one direction, so you need to have like a support in the middle.
Yeah, that's very interesting, Bria.
I completely agree.
The best towers have different types of pieces in them, which permit kind of, which create more stability. So we're going to get to that, Bria. That's a truth that equally applies to knowledge, is that you're going to have big bits of knowledge, little bits of knowledge. They're going to take different shapes and sizes, and everything's got to fit with everything else. And then you can build higher and higher and higher, and it'll stay stable, and it'll be strong, and you can always go higher. And the result is, the better the job you do, you can end up with your knowledge looking like this. And this is what happens when somebody builds, you know, these, if you look around in the world, out in the world, what is Amazon? What is Amazon.com? Is Amazon.com this? Is it just a bunch of separate little bits that are offered up for sale? This is Amazon.com right here. It's a tower. It's an integrated business that delivers to human beings like no other has ever done. Amazon is way more impressive than this tower. Timothy.
Amazon.com especially will link their other products together. in like three product deals.
Yes.
So if you wanted to get like an Angry Birds plush toy, they would offer a deal where you would get Angry Birds plush toys.
Yeah, but then there's so much more to it than that, right? Amazon will say, customers who bought this also went on to buy this, or instead bought this. And so all of us, you're having this amazing experience of shopping for things in a certain category, and they're helping you to make connections, and they're helping you to see what you might have instead of something else, right? So it's an unbelievable integrated shopping experience. You can't do that anywhere. You can't do that in a mall, right? You can't. I mean, it's nice to be in a store sometimes, but man, it's just unbelievable, right? They have the reviews. They have everything on there. It's unbelievable. So there's a good comparison, right? Amazon.com is a tower. So some people are tower builders, right? So I think it was Jeff Bezos is the one who built Amazon, essentially, right? He's a tower builder. Right? And the world has people like that in it. Steve Jobs is a famous example of a mega tower builder. Now, not everybody, Apple, right? So not everybody in the world is going to be a mega tower builder. But you can build towers too. Everybody here can build towers. I don't know which one you're going to build in your life. But it really does. The question of whether or not you're going to be a tower builder or not depends on how you're going to treat these things as you encounter them in your life. Depends how you're going to take the bits of knowledge that you encounter and what you can do with them. Now, here in history, I'm going to try to show you, not necessarily, I'm not here to turn everybody into a historian, although the more the better, because we need some good historians out there. But what I'm going to try primarily to show you is how to build knowledge, how to take stuff that accumulates as bits and pieces and turn it into a tower so that however big your tower is, if it's this, or if it's this, it doesn't matter. If this is elegant, this is wonderful, as appropriate to the child who built it at that certain age, right? Your tower is probably somewhere in between. Whatever life it is you're going to lead, it's going to have a certain tower that you can build. You're going to need also to figure out how to put it together. Okay, so extending the metaphor here, which I can tell you guys are handling pretty well, what is this? Is this a pile? Or is this a tower? Ashton, tell me your thoughts.
Well, can you pick someone else?
No, I like to put people on the spot. Come on, you can try.
Okay.
What do you think? Is it just bits of information?
I mean, I guess it could be called bits of information.
Okay, but is it just as messy as that pile of Lego bricks that I showed you earlier?
No, it's like a timeline.
Okay, it's a timeline. Is that a tower, would you say?
I guess.
Okay, I know it's a tough one. Sometimes, I'll give you a hint, Ashton. Mr. Powell is prone to asking questions that involve false alternatives and subtleties. So in other words, one of the best guesses you can make is if Mr. Powell gives you two alternatives, the answer is probably a third possibility. So let's see. Ben, what do you think?
I think it's not exactly a pile and not exactly a tower. It's more of the individual pieces are sorted out and put in separate boards rather than all being on
board. Okay, it's not a pile and it's not a tower either. It is organized, right? Bria, go ahead.
I think it's like an unfinished puzzle. Like you already have put the sky pieces over here and the animal pieces over here, and you started putting them together, but it isn't finished yet.
Oh, nice. Puzzle is another good metaphor, right? So for building knowledge, the idea of a puzzle is a great metaphor, as well as a tower. So thank you, Bria. That's a great connection. So yeah, right. The sky pieces are there, the grass pieces are there, the flower pieces are there, right? So they're set aside. Keen, go ahead.
I think it's a foundation.
Actually, I think it is. Go ahead. I cut you off.
Well, that's pretty much it. I mean, I just think it's a super, super strong foundation. I mean, that's this, as you said, these are our anchor facts. This is our foundation. On top of this, we can build all of our more specific facts regarding all of history, whether we're studying, you know, ancient Mesopotamia or European history or Asian history or American history.
Okay.
This is our foundation that we have to have to understand all of that, like you've been saying.
Okay, good. I basically agree. So it is a foundation, but right now it's not sufficient to be a foundation. Not quite yet. Because in what manner thus far, as illustrated here, by what means, in what manner are these pieces connected? One obvious way, some others not so obvious, but go ahead. In what ways are they connected, Timothy?
They're not really connected just yet, and I originally thought this was a foundation just like Keen, but I think I'm going to take Bria's answer and Keen's answer and say that this is an unfinished foundation that they're putting in the concrete, but the concrete isn't connected to other concrete yet.
All right. Awesome. Wow, you guys work well up with each other's answers. Awesome answer. This is a foundation, but it's not ready yet. These are pieces, like Bria said, and they're lined up in the right ways, and there are some connections between them, but it's not a foundation yet. Bria?
Like, some of the things are connected, but not, like, really. But, like, the American Declaration of Independence is kind of all through this. Like, you can never take a piece of puzzle and find just one color on it. That doesn't work. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be a little piece of this color or that. In all puzzles, it works that way.
Yeah, now it's
kind of connected, but not all the way.
Yeah, now that's interesting, because at a certain point, the puzzle metaphor breaks down, because the pieces are only adjacent to certain other pieces, and it's a little bit of a tricky thing. There's different layers to the puzzle. There's the physical pieces in the way that they fit, and then the color pattern over top of the physical pieces in the way that that fits together, and then you can kind of think of it ultimately, in order to be a foundation, you're going to have to glue those pieces together, and then they're going to be really, you know, really, really solid type of thing. I would kind of, if we're going to take the Lego metaphor here and go back to that for a second, I would characterize what we have right now as something more like this. We've got all the right pieces in the right position, and so we're kind of ready to start putting things together. Yeah, I have no idea what this kid is, but it looks kind of fun. But you get the idea, right? The gray pieces next to the gray pieces, the red and the blue, and also the shapes and sizes next to each other. All right, so we're ready to start building. And we already have some of the instructions, right? So in a way, we're getting close to something like this, whereas this piece goes with this piece, goes with this, this, and this. Okay, we have something like that, don't we? We absolutely have something like that. What's this right here? We've got a connection being formed here. It is the most basic kind of connection that we can make in history. What does this line do for us? What kind of connection does it permit us to make between any two facts in history? That's pretty amazing. This is the most fundamental, basic type of connection we can make in history. What do we call that? Time connection. There's a better vocabulary word for it, Alexander.
A timeline?
Yeah, well, the device is called a timeline, but what kind of connection is made thanks to a timeline? Timothy?
Any two facts are technically, they're on the same timeline. Technically, this timeline is sort of the hole in the ground where the foundation, the concrete foundation.
Okay, right? That's not bad. It's like the basic, the excavation that permits all of the different piles to be integrated at some point. True enough in the metaphor. All right. But what do we call this ability to make logical connections over time? What's the word for that? It's a Greek word for time logic connections. Juliet?
Chronologically.
Yes, we have one type of connection already in place in our minds because of this diagram. That is chronological. That is a type of connection. I would say that a chronological connection is almost like that first layer of concrete that goes down, and that slab at the bottom. Or metaphorically, you could kind of look at it a different way as well. The chronological connection is kind of like that central elevator shaft in the building. Just the bare bones. It's not a building yet, but it's basically the central shaft. Everything else is going to connect in some way chronologically to everything else. Everything is going to connect to everything else in terms of where it sits on the timeline. So that's useful. But in order for us to build a tower of knowledge, we need these connections between the facts to proliferate. We need for every fact, in essence, to connect to every other fact multiply and complexly. It sounds big, and it is. It sounds big, and it is. Because the better you do it, the closer you're going to get to this. I mean, it is. If you do it right, and you keep doing it, and you get to a professional point where you do it for a living, and that's all you do, then you can get this. You can get an Amazon.com of historical knowledge. You can get a fully integrated, massive, super tower of knowledge at the end. For now, we're going to start with this, and we're going to work our way up, right? And we're going to build the foundation. And in order to do that, we're going to need to take each of these separate pieces, and we're going to need to make sure we understand them. Each of these pieces, as it turns out, when we're building a body of historical knowledge, each of our pieces is more complex than a piece of Lego. It tends to have multiple features. Every historical, sometimes I like to call them atomic facts, like atoms, right? We think of, generally scientists talk about matter as being made up of atoms, but atoms are connected together into molecules, and molecules are connected together into higher level structures and into substances, right? And so on and so on. Right, so these bits of information here are like historical atoms, but even atoms have a structure. Right, and we need to be clear on those. We need to look at them carefully and know what each of them is in order to then be able to put them together. We need to know what size piece it is, how many different ways it can connect up to other pieces, and so on, and gradually build. So the first task in building a tower of historical knowledge that takes us all the way to the summit, you are here in the present, looking back on the entire world and seeing it clearly from the ultimate vantage point. If we want to do that, we've got to take each and every fact that we're looking at and really gain command of it. It can't be fuzzy. It can't be woozy. We have to know what it is. In specific detail, in sufficient detail, and then we start to connect it up in various ways. So, how do we do it? I'm going to guide you through the process, start to finish. So, you're not going to have to invent anything here. You're not going to haphazardly build your knowledge. I'm going to tell you how. Okay? And it's going to be very systematic. Going to be very systematic, and I will guide you and help you every single step of the way. It will be demanding, but there won't be anything here that anybody here cannot do. So, here's where we begin. The next item on the class webpage is entitled Visual Prompts for Anchor Fact Memorization. Okay, and the outcome of that looks like this. It's a document that has basically an image for each and every one of these, right, key features of the timeline. The map is the one extraneous one. I just like the map. So they're not going to be the map one. But each of the seven anchor facts of history is a page with a beautiful image of some sort, a compelling visual representation of the fact. And then each and every fact has five questions that you need to be able to answer in order to begin creating your foundation. You need to be able to answer these five. And then from there, you can go further and do more. But first, these five. So, let's take a look at what they are. They're very basic. The first four are really, really simple. And the fifth one is not so simple. The fifth one is where the integration begins. The fifth one is where the pieces start to connect up with each other. So, let's take a look at the questions. Let's look at this one, which is very simple for everybody, right? So we have who? Easy enough, Christopher Columbus. Sorry, maybe I can go ahead and let you guys answer. What? How would you answer that? What is that dimension of the fact, Timothy?
I want to say... I forgot the name of the ship he was on, but I'm
going to
say the ship.
Oh, no, we don't need that. What is the historical event? What is happening?
Yeah, he's discovering America.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. So, and then sometimes you'll find that the two questions answer together, kind of what, where, right? Discovers America kind of goes together right there. Okay. When? Bria? 1492. Answer that more completely, please.
What do you mean, like...
Well, 1492 what?
He's farming America.
In order to answer that more completely, we need something else. Micah.
AD.
1492 AD. Okay, right? Because we can't get that confused. I know, it was a little tricky little thing, but you got to definitely have the AD there as well. Okay, so those... Now we've got the piece. And we know what it looks like. And so we've got, you know, basic facts about it. Then the question is, so what? Now, this question there can be answered multiply and complexly. The so what is where all of the learning that we are going to be able to do comes from. This is where so what includes all kinds of really interesting questions, which are not listed here. Include, because you can only answer them when you know things in detail. So the how and the why of events, which you may be interested in, and you were wondering how come they aren't listed here. Well, those come in the details. You can't know those on an anchor fact basis. They have to be studied in detail. So they're not here right now because they're not really foundational questions. How and why are derivative questions that you can only answer reasonably when you have a complex and full context of knowledge. So how and why is not on here. But so what is a really key question that helps us to orient our minds properly to every historical fact. And the way to answer this question first off is to rephrase it, and I'm going to tell you the way that you can answer this more easily if you find just the two words, so what, to be a little bit hard to figure. The way to rephrase this to yourself is, what is the connection between this piece and the world we live in? That's the so what. What is the connection between this building block of knowledge and the world that I live in that I want to understand? That's what you have to ask yourself. And like I said, there can be a lot of them. There can be a lot of interesting answers. And this is where we get, the better we can answer this, the more fully and the more in different ways with all different kinds of answers to this, allows us to create an interconnected body of knowledge. Because with a fact like this, which is an anchor fact, we will find that we will never, no matter how long we work for our entire lives, we will never exhaust the number of connections that are possible. Guaranteed. So, but anyway, where do we start? How would you, what would be the best initial answer to the question, what is the connection between Columbus's discovery of America in 1492 AD and the world we live in? How would you answer that? Take a shot. Micah, please. Go ahead.
We wouldn't be living in America.
In what sense, please?
If Columbus hadn't discovered America, we would probably be living in, like, Spain or France.
Okay. So in a continental sense, right? Okay. There wouldn't be people living on this continent as we are now. Most of us having some kind of European descent, okay? But I think that maybe we can kind of state it in a little bit more blunt fashion. Bria, go ahead.
The whole world is America's sister. If Columbus hadn't found that, then we would not be living.
Oh, yeah, I love that. That's really great. So, we live in an America-centric world. By America, in that sense, we mean the United States of America. The United States of America. So the answer, I think the best, most basic answer to the question, so what, when it comes to Columbus's discovery, it's a mind-blowing truth. Without Columbus's discovery, there is no United States of America. I think that's answer number one. If there's no America, how can there be a United States of America? And by America, we mean a continent discovered and named by Europeans. Right? America was named after one of the explorers that followed Columbus. There's no America without Europeans discovering it. And there's no United States without European people colonizing it and creating a new country. So, basically how I would answer that this question. The first answer that I think is the beginning of using this as a building block of knowledge is very simple. The basic answer is, without this discovery, there is no United States of America. Okay? So now, this is ready. This is ready to start being connected to other facts, in particular, this one. Keen, go ahead.
I was going to say, if we were going to add another aspect to the Columbus fact, we could say that it is the beginning, his voyage is the beginning of the interconnected world that we know today.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Right. See, so now you're already taking this to the next level, which is really great. Okay, because there are some other levels to take this to, Keenan. You're right. I'm going to say that for now, level one is you've got to say, all right, without this one, we don't get to this one. Okay, that's level one of the connections. There is no United States in America unless there is a discovery of America. Okay, so the main type of connection you want to make is chronological towards the present. You want to go from that fact towards where we are now. How do we get to the world we live in? And then you're right, Keen, that you can go along multiple channels. You can go right around that and you can say, well, Columbus's discovery is key to globalization. There's no interconnection between all the cultures and all the continents without that discovery. Because otherwise it's just the old world. It might become interconnected, but it's all just on an island, a big world island over there that has nothing to do with the Americas. So absolutely, Columbus's discovery is key to the fact that we live in an interconnected, globalized world too. Okay? But that's another layer. And you'll notice that the more you're able to manipulate that, the answers like that, and come up with new answers at different levels, the more interconnected your knowledge is becoming. Okay? But as great as that is, I want to try to focus on the most essential, most fundamental connection. Okay? And since this is the discovery of America, the answer to that is there is no United States of America without Columbus. That's the so what. Okay. So now we go through and we do that with each and every separate fact. The process begins now, and you know, we're at the end of today's class. So the first thing that you need to do, which is really non-optional, is you need to answer the first four questions for every single one. Who, what, when, where? Because those are basic ones, right? Really basic. Who, what, when, where? And then you need to take a stab at, if you can. If you can't, don't worry about it yet. We're here to build together. We're a team of builders, and we'll help each other out. I will help you. You will help me. It happens all the time. You guys help me. And so we'll build it together as a team, and we'll answer this so what question as best we can and refine our answers and add to our answers and strengthen our answers over the course of the year. We won't stop. It'll just constantly be, the connections will keep on strengthening as we work on it together. So don't fret too much about the last question if you find it difficult on any particular fact, but you do need to try, right? Try. Go back here. They're not necessarily very easy, right? Go back here and say, so what? Use the timeline, because there are interesting things that you'll see that might help you make the connection. And use your class notes. And as I said, I promise that you will have the rest of your class notes for this today. And then make use of the in-class discussions. Ask me questions. Listen to the other students and what their answers are, because some pretty smart folks here that you can learn from as well as from me. So before you know it, each of these facts will not just be a bit of knowledge, will not just be an atom of knowledge that piles up on other atoms until it's unmanageable, but rather it will be a building block that fits and that is integrated and interconnected with everything else that you know. Okay, so it begins here with this exercise. There is no formal due date for this. There's no formal due date for this exercise. Basically, every day from now on, you'll be on the spot. I will call upon you and I will ask you, who, what, when, where, so what? And either you'll be able to answer or you won't. And it'll be up to you what you make of that. I don't mean in any way to embarrass anybody or hurt feelings or whatever if you're in class and you don't know the answer. Not knowing the answer is not what's important here. If that happens, all that is an opportunity to learn. It should not be a cause for embarrassment or anything. We're all just here to learn. And so when you don't know something, perfect. Now you know what you need to learn. And then you have a chance to go off and do it. And I'm here to support you. Your classmates are here to support you. So don't worry about not knowing the answer at first or at any point along the line. Sometimes Mr. Powell forgets the answer. And that can be pretty embarrassing sometimes. So that's okay. And then go back and relearn it and reintegrate it. It happens to everybody. So that's not the point, right? The point is the process. The point is the act of thinking and integrating and building. And at the end, you will have something very impressive. So begin the process. Your homework is to go and begin this process and start answering questions. Every class I will use these prompts. Every class. And I will start to introduce more knowledge. We are going to get into the details of what civilization was like in Columbus's time. And you're going to start to be able to make connections to that event of 1492. And you're going to start to make more connections to 1776, and connections to 3000 BC, connections to Athens and Rome. And hopefully they will just kind of bubble up inside of you. You'll start to feel yourself making these connections. And I will help you to do that as well. All right, I'm excited. I'm liking it. You guys did really well today. Thank you for your contributions to the discussion. It was great fun. Timothy, go ahead.
I have a question and a comment.
Okay.
Will you be emailing
this homework to our parents?
No, I'm just putting it on the class webpage, and it's there, and every day of every class, you're going to be on the spot, so I don't think you'll need another reminder.
Okay, and my comment is that I'm going to start working on how to do a proper green screen video. I'm going to start working on that on Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Super. Thank you, Timothy. That's going to be very helpful to everybody else. Thank you. Okay. Anything else? Okay, folks. Good luck with that. I look forward to hearing back from you and helping you on this process of building your own personal tower of knowledge. Have a good one. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.